Greetings and good morning, Western Colorado. Thanks for choosing Mountain Grown Community Radio, KVNF. It's 8 o'clock, and here's your local newscast for Tuesday, January 15th. Oxbow's Elk Creek Mine has stopped production because of elevated levels of carbon monoxide. According to Kathy Browning of the Delta County Independent, the mine has been idling since last Tuesday when an inspection by the Mine Safety and Health Administration discovered carbon monoxide levels above permissible safety limits. Coal miners were evacuated from the mine at that time for safety. In an interview with Browning, Oxbow Mining President Jim Cooper said that since Tuesday, mine officials have been working on a plan to reduce carbon monoxide levels so mine operations can resume. They hope to have that plan approved by MSHA today and bring about 90 miners back tomorrow to start working on it. Another 240 miners will be affected by the halt in operations. Browning reports that the mine plans to put temporary seals in the longwall section of the mine to isolate the area and shut off the oxygen supply to reduce carbon monoxide levels. They will continue monitoring the air quality in the mine until MSHA determines it's safe to resume mining operations. Cooper could not give an estimate of how long that will be. Stay tuned to KVNF for more on this story. A hearing officer is making no recommendation about whether to approve or deny a license for the Pinyon Ridge Uranium Mill in western Montrose County. Instead, he's leaving the decision to state regulators. Retired Judge Richard Dana submitted his six-page ruling to the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment yesterday. From KOTO in Telluride, Stephen Barrett reports.
The agency hired Dana to conduct a court-ordered hearing on the license application. The hearing itself took place over several months. Dana's ruling avoids any lengthy analysis. On most points, he simply told state regulators to consider testimony by the environmental group Sheep Mountain Alliance and the mill's other opponents. CDPHE had originally licensed the mill in 2011. That license was overturned on procedural grounds. Energy Fuels spokesperson Curtis Moore says he expects the agency will reissue a license now that the hearing is concluded.
From our perspective, really no new information came out at the hearing. It was essentially the same experts talking about the same expert reports and the same objections as were voiced quite vehemently before the first license issuance decision. But ultimately, that's up to CDPHE to make that decision.
Sheep Mountain Alliance has been critical of what it calls a cozy relationship between state environmental officials and the uranium industry. In his written findings, Dana found no evidence of agency bias. Hillary White is the executive director of Sheep Mountain Alliance. She says the group remains hopeful the agency will reverse course.
CDPHE chose to ignore some pretty strong evidence against the mill, and now they're required by this independent hearing judge to consider all of that evidence, and really we don't see any other option but to deny this mill with all the evidence in front of them.
The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment has until April 27th to reach a final licensing decision. Energy Fuels says it has no immediate plans to construct the mill. It's placed most of its mines on standby as it waits for uranium prices to rebound. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Stephen Barrett.
An avalanche killed a Summit County man outside the town of Marble this past weekend. It's the second avalanche-related death in as many weeks this winter. From Aspen Public Radio, Luke Runyon reports.
The call came in late Sunday afternoon. Two men told the dispatcher they had just survived an avalanche, but the third member of their group had not. 37-year-old James Lindenblad of Summit County didn't survive the slide. His two companions said he likely died from heavy trauma in the violent avalanche. The three men had been skiing in a remote and dangerous area of the Ragged's, south of Marble.
It is very steep.
That's Gunnison County Undersheriff Randy Barnes. Response crew members from Crested Butte and Gunnison used a helicopter to lower into the area, and Barnes says the recovery of Lindenblatt's body was extreme and dangerous.
Just due to the fact that he was about three or four ridges south and west of Marble.
Lyndon Blatt's death is the second avalanche-related fatality in Colorado this winter. An avalanche killed a snowmass ski patroller in late December. I'm Luke Runyon.
The Colorado Parks and Wildlife Commission finalized the 2013 big game hunting regulations last week. The largest change in regulations affects what is called the Youth Elk Hunt Program. According to the agency, the program was originally developed to help address overpopulations of elk on agricultural private lands in western Colorado. This year, young hunters with an unfilled limited cow or either sex elk license will be able to hunt late seasons in the general area of their original license, a restriction from larger late hunt areas allowed in the past. But the agency says they remain committed to find ways to get youth hunters in the field. In other issues, commissioners decided to extend the mountain lion season through the month of April. In the past, most units closed to hunting at the end of March. Mountain lions are native to Colorado, and agency biologists say the state population is robust and healthy. In addition, the commission asked Colorado Parks and Wildlife staff to work with Ouray, Hinsdale, San Miguel, and San Juan counties to address concerns about off-highway vehicle regulations. Commissioners moved to discuss a citizen petition from the counties at a future meeting. Commissioners also denied four petitions seeking to overturn a regulation that prohibits animals from the wild from being taken into private possession. But the commission asked agency staff to remain open to discussions with licensed sanctuary facilities and other stakeholders about rare exceptions to the rule. A fundamentalist Arvada pastor who has been forced to change the name of his radio show to settle a lawsuit filed by NPR's Science Friday show. The Denver Post reports that radio host Bob Enyart's newly named Real Science Radio program had been called Real Science Friday. That led to a lawsuit in November for trademark infringement and cyber squatting. The Post reports that NPR Science Friday representatives said the similarity in names was confusing people and sending them to Enyart's website. The court order was issued in late December. The Post reports that Enyart is a self-described fundamentalist Christian pastor of the 60-member Denver Bible Church, who says he uses his show to challenge mainstream science journalism. He believes the world's age is measured in thousands, not billions of years, in accordance with biblical passages, and he claims mounting scientific evidence. His show has been on the air since 1991, and he estimates he has several thousand listeners. Science Friday said it filed the suit to protect its federally registered rights and reputation as a trusted source of science information. The program airs on 300 NPR stations and is available on podcasts, with more than 2 million estimated listeners a week. And that concludes your newscast for Tuesday. For Mountain Grown Community Radio, this is Eric Gould. Stay warm, everybody, and thanks so much for listening.